All right, there's no time to waste. Let's get right the fuck into it. Yeah. Yeah. Here we fucking go. Big Aerieville Podcast, number 88. Is there stupid shit going on? Well, of course there is. That's why I'm here. Don't hide under your bed. Don't cover your ears. And do not watch the mainstream media. I'll tell you what the fuck's really going on. 3, 2, 1. All right, let's do this. Now, one story I'm sure most of you are aware of is Southwest Airlines Flight 1380. Supposed to be traveling between LaGuardia and Dallas Love Field. Had to make an emergency landing in Philadelphia because the number one engine, the one on the left side, blew the fuck up. Not only did it blow the fuck up, it ejected a lot of shrapnel around it and into the plane, some of which going through the window and halfway sucking a woman out the window. Pretty cool, right? Would have been cool if there was a little baby that was sucked out of the window. Wouldn't that be fucking cool? Yes, it would. Don't tell me it wouldn't. Or somebody's little doggy that they shouldn't have brought on the plane. Oh, that would have been poetic justice. But no, a woman was halfway sucked out of the window and she was bleeding and there's blood everywhere, apparently. Of course, they never show you that part of it, do they? They always show you the same cell phone footage from the same guy, right? As if none of the other 150 people took fucking cell phone footage of this shit. That's the mainstream media. What are you going to do? They bought the one they wanted. The one that we're allowed to see. Anyway, some Twilight Zone kind of shit is happening. This bitch is sucked out of the plane halfway. And the engine is completely fucked. It's destroyed. It's gone. It's done. It's not on fire, but it's fucked. All right? So the plane got diverted to Philadelphia. So, of course, they have to clear all the traffic out of the way, down below, and around the stricken plane. It comes in, pulls off to the side. They douse it with chemicals. All the idiots go off the slide. The end. The pilot's a hero, right? What a good job they did bringing the plane down safely. And aside from the one woman, not too many people hurt on this plane, right? Most of them walk away unscathed. Oh, good. Great job again by the pilots. Does it matter who the pilots are? No, it doesn't. They will be the first to tell you, listen, we're not heroes. We just did our jobs. We were trained for this kind of emergency, and we pulled it off. All right? We move on to the next flight. Of course, the media won't stop there, as one of the pilots happened to be a woman. What? No way. A woman pilot? Get the fuck out of here. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that not only was there a woman pilot, but she landed a stricken airliner safely? We should all be so proud and amazed that she's a woman. Have you ever had a woman pilot before? Yeah, about 5 million times. Who cares? I wouldn't give a shit if it was a gorilla flying the plane. I said, good job, gorilla. Hope to be on your next flight. But no, the media always has to let you know, whenever it's a woman involved, oh, they have to let you know about all of her military training and how her family is doing and interview her family and interview passengers about her, supposedly. Well, let's listen to the empty heads at Good Morning America gushing about this brave, heroic woman.
Anyone who knows Tammy Jo Schultz, her professionalism, her skill is not at all surprised.
So no other pilots have professionalism and skill,
as
just her.
As one of the first women to fly Navy fighter jets, Tammy Jo
Schultz. Why is it even necessary to bring that up? Look, she's the one that broke the glass ceiling.
This kind of emergency.
She's the only one that would have been capable to bring this plane in. Oh, come on.
Jet in for a landing.
We have part of the aircraft missing. They said there was a hole and someone went out.
I'm sorry, you said there was a hole and somebody went out?
She managed that emergency landing in Philadelphia despite the left engine explosion.
Yeah, the co-pilot didn't do anything, right? That stupid man.
Window, and
whoever
the cabin
he is.
Rapidly depressurizing.
There's nothing else I can say, but that pilot was nerves of steel. She's an awesome lady.
They have this guy on every single channel. Nerves of steel. The nerves of steel guy, the Garth Brooks lookalike and the cowboy hat. She got nerves of steel.
These photos show her comforting passengers after she landed the plane.
I will fly with that lady anytime.
Oh, bullshit, Bubba. I'm sure you were comfortable when the woman pilot did her first announcements on a loudspeaker, right?
The training Schultz got in the Navy was not easy. Schultz trained on the F-18s at a time when female pilots were not allowed to fly combat missions.
She was training to fly commercial.
In a passage for the 2012 book, Military Fly Moms,
this is so fucking unnecessary, this part here.
Recalling an early meeting with another female aviator, my heart jumped, Schultz said. Girls did fly.
Oh,
I set to work trying to break into the club.
Yeah, of course they have to make this into a feminist jack-off session.
And I believe Tammy Jo, in a very short period, will get right back into that cockpit.
Of course she will, because she's a fucking
Captain
professional.
Schultz,
that's what they do.
Captain Schultz, pilot on Flight 1380, releasing a statement overnight saying, "We all feel we were simply doing our jobs. Our hearts are heavy. We appreciate the outpouring of support."
Yeah, now let's cut the feminist bullshit.
And that is exactly what you would expect. Neither considers themselves a hero. And I can tell you, George, I have mutual friends with Tammy Jo, and they say
on
all
Facebook,
she is concerned about is it's the passengers and the woman who was killed.
That black and white photo, straight out of Top Gun.
Straight out of Top Gun. I can't tell you how difficult it was for the women back then.
Oh, were
we
you there?
We all saw that movie, right? They welcomed women, those male
aviators.
It was
a fucking movie.
Not necessarily in
you
the
imbecile?
Cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tough time. I love that ATC audio when you hear her so calm and deliberate. She
That's how
doesn't
you're supposed
negotiate.
To be.
She doesn't ask. She tells them what she needs and she gets it.
Yeah, she's a strong female and she doesn't take any guff from ATC. Are you fucking kidding, lady? Who are you anyway? Let's see. Martha Raddatz, ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent. Jesus, if that is an inflated title. Shut up.
That strong woman, she doesn't get pushed around by air traffic control. She says what she wants and they give it to her.
Yeah, is that how it works? Because they knew she was a strong woman? Really? Is that what's floating around in that empty head of yours, you turkey-necked old broad? I've listened to the ATC correspondence. And it's not because they knew she was a strong woman. It's because they knew the fucking flight was a danger. Of course they're going to go above and beyond procedure to get her landed safely and efficiently. But they have to let you know that we're supposed to be so impressed and so surprised by a woman pilot, especially one that finds herself in the middle of an emergency and has to land an airplane full of people safely. Fuck you! Stop pandering, for Christ fucking sakes. She's doing her job. And of course, no mention at all about the co-pilot who happens to be male. I wonder if both pilots were female, would the co-pilot also be mentioned in this story? And not only mentioned, then we have to hear about her military background and her training and how hard it was to be a woman, you know, training in the military because they wouldn't let her fly combat missions and yada, yada, fucking yada. I'll bet you they would have. You know, they kept comparing her to Sully, the pilot that landed a plane in the Hudson River a few years ago. Well, he's a man. Why they talk about him all the time? You know, why they talk about him? I'll tell you why. You know why they talk about Sully all the time? Because he landed his plane in the Hudson River, and the Hudson River is in New York. I guarantee you, if he landed in the Mississippi River, you wouldn't hear his goddamn name ever again, nor would be movies about him or any of that shit. I'm sure they're already working on at least a TV movie about this woman, right? The Tammy Jo Schultz story, Southwest 1380. Well, the fucking movie would be longer than the actual flight was. They're going to have to pad it with all, you know, her military experience and her family life and all the kinds of shit that doesn't matter. And is this the first plane that's ever landed with a blown engine? No! It's happened before. It's happened several times.
But this was a woman pilot. She's special.
No, she's a pilot and she was doing her goddamn job. Whether she's a man or a woman is fucking irrelevant! You fucking news people try to make it relevant because you're trying to push the feminist agenda. Well, fuck you! Who the fuck actually watches Good Morning America all the way through? Except bored housewives. I mean, really, with all the choices you have now, with all the fucking outlets, with all the internet streaming and everything, who the fuck would sit there and watch all of Good Morning America? It's for the brain dead. And not coincidentally, what follows Good Morning America in most markets in this country? The View. Just in case your brain hasn't completely shut off, The View will make sure it's shut off. Now, going back to the ATC conversation between the hero pilot and air traffic control, I have it. I'm a bit of an aviation nerd. I like shit like that. I listen to air traffic control. I have liveatc.net. I've got Flight Radar 24. I mean, I like that kind of stuff, all right? I'm an aviation dork. What can I say? I learned all about that shit a long time ago when I took flight lessons as a teenager. Went to ground school. You know, I flew Cessna 172s in and out of Van Nuys Airport and all around. So I learned about a lot of this shit. So I understand the communication that's going on here. The media only pick out the parts where it sounds like she's a strong woman and snapping her fingers to get what she wants, but that's not how it fucking works. Here's how it fucking works.
Southwest 1380 has an engine fire descending.
Now, she's on with New York Center, so she's already departed LaGuardia. I've been in the air for quite a while. Switched frequencies a few times. Now, New York Center is getting her out of New York airspace, and then this call comes in.
Give us a vector for your closest.
So she's asking for vectors to the nearest airport. It's going to be Philadelphia. In other words, headings in the general direction that'll get her into the Philly airspace. Now, unfortunately, New York Center's transmission is terrible. There's New York for you. There's the male co-pilot who's never referred to. God, that's terrible. Basically, he's asking if anything on the plane is still fire. No, not anymore. Jesus, it sounds like a fax machine. I gotta turn that down. It's driving me crazy. It gets better after they switch off of him. So now she's going down to 11,000 feet. 11.
The engine number one, captain side.
All right, she's changing frequencies.
Southwest 1380, descending, maintain.
Now she's on Philly approach control.
Southwest 1380, down to 6,000.
The entire thing isn't on here, but the gist of it is.
Souls on board.
Okay, 149 souls on board, 5 hours of fuel.
Thank you very much.
Southwest.
Southwest 1380, fly heading 090, please.
090, so that's due east.
Southwest 1380, can I get the fuel in pounds and the exact nature of the emergency, please?
Engine severe damage. Engine
severe damage to the engine.
And exact pounds of fuel.
21,000 pounds of fuel left.
21,000.
Thank you. Southwest 1380, fly heading 090, descend and maintain 4,000.
4,000, heading 090, Southwest 1380.
And Southwest 1380, are you going to go right in, or do you need extended final?
Extended final.
Thank you.
Yeah, extended final. So she's going to need a nice big straight in. She's not going to be able to make a tight base turn with that fucked engine. She's so strong and brave.
Southwest 1458, you can expect an extended downwind. We have another fellow company airplane coming in that has an emergency that's pretty serious, so we're going to dump him in front of you.
So now they're talking to the other players to get them out of the way or get them landed quickly before she comes in.
There, maintain 170 knots, please. I'm going to slow you down.
Okay, Erie, 170 on the speed, Southwest 1458.
American 585, also emergency for you, being landed in front of you there, so reduce speed to 170. We'll get you right in as soon as we can.
Phone to 170, American 585, no problem.
Dever 3625, Philly approach. Altimeter's 2974. Expect the ILS 27 right, or, yeah, let's do 27 right, and you can maybe expect some delay vectors, so we have an emergency landing with a possible engine fire.
Copy that, Envoy 3625.
All right, so they're getting all the other planes
now,
landed.
At your speed,
they're going
to
bring her
face,
in on the departure runway on the left.
Back to 190 knots, and
that one's longer.
Your
they usually use the longer runway for emergency landings.
190 is correct, yes.
We need a single channel, no more channel switching.
Ooh, now she's snapping her fingers, isn't she?
You're on approach frequency 128.4. You're where you
should
be,
there, aren't we?
4,000, and do you need any further assistance?
So you don't need to change until you go to tower, lady. Come on.
Or a long.
Yeah, we're going to need a long final.
Okay, I'm going to let you drive until you tell me you want to turn base, okay? So that'll be at least a 25-mile final. Longer than that, I'll have to do some coordination, but that'll be fine. We'll get that done for you. You let me know when you want to come in.
Okay, 20 is good, and we may need shorter here in a moment. Tell me the runway we're setting up for.
Okay, Southwest 1380, you'll be landing 27 left today, And you just let me know when you need to turn base. Right now, I only have one person in front of me, which is a Southwest, but I'm sure he'll pull off if you need to go right in. Southwest 1458, clear visual approach 27 right. Keep your speed up. I'd like to get you on the ground before I have to turn her base.
Copy that. Speed up, clear visual 27 right.
Okay, center.
Southwest 1380. 1380, I got a 1458 on frequency. I just cleared him for the approach. Southwest 1380. I understand your emergency. Let me know when you want to go in.
Yeah, we have a part of the aircraft missing, so we're going to need to slow down a bit.
Southwest 1380, speed is your discretion. Maintain at any altitude above 3,000 feet, and you let me know when you want to turn base.
All right. Down to 3,000, 210 on the speed.
Absolutely. You just let me know anything you need. American 1894, descend and maintain 6,000, then reduce speed to 170.
Yeah, 6,000, speed 170, American 1894.
43625, fly heading 040, and reduce speed to 170.
040, speed 175, 43625.
Frontier 4656, 10,000,
Foxtrot. Frontier 1052, Philly approach, altimeters 2907, fly 27 right. Southwest 1458, give me a best forward speed, please, and towers 18.5.
Best forward, 18.5, 14.6.
Fairwing 714, direct peace out.
Direct peace out, Fairwing 714.
Southwest 1380, you'd like to turn, start turning inbound.
Southwest 1380, turn, just start turning southbound there. There's a Southwest 737 on a 4 mile final. We'll be turning southbound. Start looking for the airport. It's off to your right and slightly behind you there. And altitude is your discretion. Use caution for the downtown area. Maintain, advise you to maintain at above 2,200 for the MVA.
Okay, could you have the medical meet us there on the runway as well? We've got injured passengers.
Whatever she wants, she gets.
Is your airplane physically on fire?
No, it's not on fire. But
any pilot would ask for that.
They said there was a hole and someone went out.
We'll work it out there. So the airport's just off to your right. Report it in sight, please.
In sight. South 1380. Airport's in sight.
Southwest 1380, you're cleared. Visual approach 27 left. 27 left and towers on 18.5.
We're going on 27 left. Switching tower. Good day.
So tower southwest 1380.
Southwest 1380, runway 27 left, clear to land, wind 28019, gust 25.
So they have almost a direct headwind at almost 20 knots. That's a pretty substantial wind, but at least it's a headwind. They're not going to have to do a lot of crosswind correction, which they probably can't do on that fucked up engine.
Thank you. We're going to stop right here by the fire truck. Thanks, guys, for the help.
And that's it. There we go.
She was so demanding. She was just stomping her feet and snapping her fingers, and those men gave her everything she wanted.
That's how they're pitching that. No, that's how you handle a fucking emergency. You ask for emergency equipment, you say what the emergency is, and you give your suggestion on how you want to approach it.
But she's a strong woman. Anything she wants, she gets. Thank God it's a woman finally in one of these stories. If we have to talk about another man making an emergency landing, oh my God.
So again, I guess the co-pilot had absolutely no part in this, right? He deserves absolutely no fucking credit. Even say his fucking name on there. It's Darren Elliser, all right? That's his fucking name. You barely fucking hear it. If you scroll about 25, 30 pages down online, you'll find it. They also had to speak through oxygen masks. They had to have those on too, just like everybody in the back of the plane.
She's a strong woman. She gets what she wants. The nerve of that woman saying that bullshit.
Can't believe they even went in that angle. Well, yes, I can, actually. I should be surprised at all by that. Just pisses me off every fucking time. And the woman that got sucked out partially and then died as a result, I'm sure she'd be glad to know her sister-in-law said, well, obviously God needed her. Oh, isn't that great? I need you now, says God. You're not flying back home. Fuck you. I need you now to do God's work. Jeez, can we get rid of the religious nutcases, please? Let's have all of them, all the whiny liberals, and all the homeless. Just send them all out to Death Valley. All right? Let them set up camp out there and let them kill each other. Everybody's problems solved. Now, speaking of people who need to be left in the desert, Cardi B. Now, I know what you're thinking. Jesus Christ, Phil, you're talking about Cardi B again? You must be in love with her or something. Well, no. But I am in love with making fun of retards, and especially on a regular basis. And every time Cardi B opens her yap, she leaves herself open to ridicule. Well, here she is appearing on the Ellen Show, speaking of somebody else who should be left in the desert. And I guess she's talking about how she got pregnant. Well, I can tell you right now, she opened up her blouse, shoved a pillow in, closed her blouse. And now she's got Illuminati Red on, because, of course, she has to praise Satan while on network TV. So does Ellen, for that matter. How the fuck do you think she got that job? And she's looking Illuminati white as ever. I think Beyonce is passing down the torches to this chick, because she's sure looking a lot like Beyonce. That's probably what the fucking Coachella event was used for, as an Illuminati passing of the torch, if you will. Well, here's this dumbass Cardi B looking very white with a blonde Becky wig on and sounding just as intelligent as ever.
Hey,
Cardi B. Hey. Hey. Hi. Oh, yeah. I love when Ellen plays along, too. That's so great. Oh, shut up, you fucking monkeys. Shut up. Yeah, let's cheer the idiot. Yay, because we're idiots too.
All right, so first of all, that works well. Nice to meet you. And your name is really not Cardi B. Do I call you Cardi
really?
B, even though that's not your name?
I had no idea.
Can you even pronounce my real name? My real name is Belcalis.
Belcalis?
She can't even pronounce it herself.
So you know what I'm saying? A lot of people be like, Belcalis?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, if you read it, you probably would. But Belcalis?
They called you Cardi B. You didn't come up with that on your own.
She said,
or B. What is it?
The IQ of this audience is about 20.
I really like when people call me Barty, but it's like Cardi, all right, you know? Because, you know, people in the hood call me Bacardi.
Mm-hmm.
That's so clever.
You know, my Instagram used to get deleted.
My Instagram? Holy my fuck.
Sure.
Illegal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it's changed to Cardi.
Yeah, I put it right.
So I'll call you Cardi.
Yeah.
But do I add the B? Do I do Cardi B?
She's been on this goddamn show before, like too.
Like,
no, my friends just call me Cardi.
Cardi. All right, yeah. I'll call you Cardi.
All right, Cardi.
Fuck, this is like one of Ellen's old stand-up bits. It just goes on and on and goes nowhere.
Very popular.
Clap, trade seals, clap. We're really trying hard to push this broad.
I didn't mean to start a beef, but I decided to call myself Cardi E, and I posted that. And did I start a beef? Did I start a rap beef?
Oh my God, my brain is hurting right now.
I paid $2,000 for Cardi.
Oh, really?
I paid $2,000.
Yeah, this never gets old.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, please let this be the 15th minute, okay?
Well, can you pay me the $2,000?
Sure.
Am I missing something? Was it that fucking
awesome
funny?
Saturday Night Live. Awesome.
Saturday Night Live. By the way, she looked a lot more, quote unquote, pregnant in that picture than she does now. Different pillows, I guess. Shut up, you morons.
You've done a lot of things and you're doing well, but that's live and it's Saturday Night Live. It's this amazing, you know, institution where you...
It hasn't been amazing in about 30 years.
You know what? I was nervous for my second performance. For my first performance, I was like, Party with Cardi, yeah. And then on my second
What?
One,
did she say something?
I don't know, like,
it just sounded like dirt to me.
I started itching a little bit because it's like, oh my God, the world's going to know that I'm pregnant. Oh, here we go.
Right.
Opinions
what?
Coming.
What did she say?
Oh, that's, yeah, because that's when you reveal
just like all mumble rappers.
So
she mumbles, she talks.
You were pregnant.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And,
yeah,
and
pregnant. He, hee, tee, hee, wink, wink.
You don't really, there you look pregnant. You don't look pregnant here. You're hiding it well.
Oh, well, you know what I'm saying? I got strength.
Thinner pillow.
I got three layers of clothes, you know what I'm saying? Like,
know what I'm saying?
And
you're I'm so hood. Know what I'm saying? Shut up. Yeah, she's twerking at the fucking Coachella. Wouldn't want to hurt the baby. Wink, wink.
It looks like you're getting ready to give birth right there. It looks like...
You know, they say the more you move, the easier it will come out.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And I
know what I'm saying.
Come out.
Yeah. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come out right now.
Well,
know what I'm saying?
Especially if that's comfortable for you to do, it'll be easy to...
Yeah. I was just trying to show the world how I got pregnant in the first place.
I see.
that really? Really? Is it that fucking funny? Is it really that amazing? I wish the camera would turn around and show us the audience. Love to see this group of drooling retards. These are the idiots that ride the TMZ bus around Hollywood.
Just like that. Right. The baby daddy was here not too long ago, Offset.
The baby daddy, okay.
Migos, everybody knows that. And I,
everybody knows that. I know it now. I didn't used to, but I do now because I'm cool.
Helped him buy a car?
Yes, he said all the time that you gave him that you helped him get like a discount. I was like, oh, well, she got to help me because I got the same car too.
Well,
wish I was friends
with
her.
You drive,
well,
stupid.
Now you are, Cardi.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Cardi, all you
yay. I'm going to ride that till I die. Yay.
And I found him the car.
So hopefully that's 10 minutes.
You want to know something? I think I want like a Lamborghini truck. Because I need like a baby
car. I need a Lamborghini truck.
I am a professional passenger.
I hate this country right now. I fucking hate this fucking country right now. The rest of the world sucks too. There's nowhere else to go.
You don't have a license?
No, I'm from New York.
Oh, I'm from New York. We don't need no licenses out in New York. Of course you're from New York. Nobody else would produce a fucking tard like you.
That I was like, why I need a car for?
No. And now you've surpassed
so you could floss it like all the other idiot rappers out there.
Your license at all. You're absolutely right. But so
holy shit. I wish the stage would just explode right now or something.
It's pretty.
Oh, it is.
It's pretty. That's right, the only reason to buy a big car, because it's pretty. I need a pretty old truck.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Shut up, you fucking moron. Oh, she's making the bird noise again. Isn't that fucking great? This is so idiocracy, but far worse.
A sign that is baby friendly.
Baby friendly?
Yeah.
Brown.
Brown.
Then nothing really shows. You don't look at my interior with a baby. Yeah. No. Well, think about it. I'm gonna look up my friends and see if I can get you a Lamborghini truck.
See, I need friends like you. All truck. My friends just get me into fights and trouble.
No.
Wish I would get you killed.
That's not me. That's not our friendship. Our friendship is gonna be totally different, Cardi.
Cardi. Tardy. Holy fucking shit. My brain feels like it was dropped into a vat of acid. This is a thing. This is really happening. Cardi B and other morons like Cardi B are the heroes of America. They accomplished absolutely nothing. They were plucked out of the hood, given the Illuminati makeover, and now they're thrust upon our faces on every fucking channel, on every talk show, at every fucking music festival, on Saturday Night Live, every fucking where, whether we like it or not. What is she, empowering to all women or something? How about women doctors, women lawyers? How about the women pilot that just crash landed the plane? No. Cardi B. Jesus Christ. Jesus fucking Christ. The people that we idolize, the people that we're told to idolize. Well, fuck you. Idolize my nuts. They're just slightly dumber than Cardi B. You just hating, you just hate, you just jealous. She making all this money, she don't care what she's... You ever see that bullshit online? These fucking ass suckers of these celebrities? It's like, what are you getting out of it? She ain't paying your shit. She ain't paying off your bills, motherfucker. Take the fucking cape off. Of course, broads always defend these rich hoes. They love rich hoes. Say, hey, she don't have to do shit. Maybe I don't have to do shit, and I can be rich. Well... She fucked the right people. You didn't. Moving on. Now, speaking of delusional women, here's something I just ran across on CNN. Trump inspires more women to run for office.
We gotta get rid of this misogynistic man. You gotta get this man out of the White House. We need more women. I'm gonna run for office, even though I've had no prior experience.
Never had any interest in politics before Trump. But now Trump has got me so triggered, I gotta run for office and tell everybody what to do! When emotions take over, that's when you're really in trouble, as if we're not in enough trouble already.
Yeah, but now all of a sudden, all these women are inspired because Trump is such an asshole.
So every president we've had before Trump was just hunky-dory, right? Not misogynistic at all, right, Bill Clinton? Right. Right, George Bush? Right. Of course, feminism is a high priority in the Illuminati these days. Why do you think they got Trump into the White House in the first place? They know he's a pig. They know that women hate him. So they get enough women marching and shouting and protesting against him and then run against him. They might have a decent chance of getting in the White House. They tried with Hillary Clinton. Trump was kind of their backup plan. They tried with Hillary Clinton, but Hillary Clinton is just such an unlikable twat that nobody wanted her in. Nobody. Nobody. So we got stuck with Trump. But now they're playing right in their hands. Hey, look at all the conflict he's brought with him. All the women hate him. Now we're getting more women to do things. Hey, feminism! Well, here's the story of one woman in particular in Virginia trying to take the entrance exam.
Not one, but countless introductions.
My name is Kimberly Tucker.
For this Democratic hopeful's campaign for Virginia's 81st House seat.
I know Donald Trump isn't central to your campaign at all, but he was part of the...
He inspired me.
He inspired you.
Absolutely. I think he
Jesus Christ, fix your teeth, lady, will you?
I'm not going to
The fucking horse wants him back.
Not my president!
We marched... We said no, but that's not enough.
It did do
it's
jack shit.
It's just march and talk. The female aftershock to Trump's 2016 political earthquake is on the ballot. In Tucker's home state of Virginia, November 7th, we'll see 51 women from major parties on the state ballot, a 60% increase compared to the last two comparable state election
cycles.
Especially
women.
26 of the 43 Democratic female candidates have never run for office before.
Oh, isn't that great?
Unprecedented number.
26 emotional broads.
Across the country, organizations training women to run for office report exponential growth in women's
signing
up.
We hate Donald Trump so much, so we want to get into office and tell everybody how to think.
It went from 1,800 women to now 15,000 female trainees.
Election day came and went, 1,000. And the floodgates opened.
What do you
this
think
is
of
Aaron,
the current
president and CEO of She Should Run?
The women candidate in Virginia
we call
are
we
a
hate
marker,
men.
A sign of what's in their training pipeline pledge advocates.
While these women may be an exception, and that's an exceptional number for, you know, for a state like Virginia, they will provide the inspiration that's needed for the I think, even bigger bump that we're going to see in future election cycles.
Thank you so much for coming out tonight.
Kimberly Ann Tucker's path here began months ago.
Oh, so she was raising a stink at a town hall meeting.
Protesting at a town hall, a member of grassroots group Indivisible formed to fight the Trump agenda.
Yeah, good luck with that.
A grandmother driven to protest.
It's a much bigger agenda
than
Trump's,
by the way.
And now you are?
Stupid.
I'm a candidate for the House of Delegates.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yes.
That's quite
a... You're
going to
get in there. This job is too fucking hard. I quit.
It is. I think I'm more surprised than anyone else that I know. I'm just knocking on doors to make sure that I talk to people.
Tucker is the assumed underdog in this predominantly Republican district.
I hope I can rely on you to vote for me.
Yeah, you know what? The 91-year-old woman sitting on her porch doesn't give a fuck about this, all right?
And she said absolutely.
She did not say absolutely. She said
political parity. Kyung Law, CNN, Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Oh, give me a fucking break. Here's the article that goes along with this, written by Mallory Simon. Kimberly Ann Tucker wanted to be part of a movement. Yeah, she wanted to be accepted. She wanted to be part of the movement. That's why everybody wants to be a part of the movement. To get accepted, to get attention, to get likes on social media. To fight against the Donald Trump presidency that she saw as full of hateful rhetoric. Again, like every presidency wasn't full of hateful rhetoric before this. Hillary Clinton was certainly full of a lot of it. But you were going to vote for that racist white bitch, weren't you? Much of it misogynistic. Did she say that, or did the author add in that line? Those feminists sure do love that word. I think they get off when they say it and write it. She had signs in her car, ready to march, usher change, and let others know her view, even though nobody asked for her view. She thought it was her job to let everybody fucking know what her fucking view is. Like, nobody cares. Sure, she voted for Hillary Clinton, but that was her job as a citizen. She realized her best way of standing up was to stand before voters herself and tell them how to fucking vote. So she decided to challenge an incumbent in a predominantly Republican district in Virginia Beach. Well, you know what? Hate to break it to you, but they're going to keep voting Republican. Tucker, 52, is one of a record number of women in her home state of Virginia and many more nationwide who are putting themselves forward in the hopes of increasing the number of women in legislatures and across government. Well, what is that going to do? They're still going to be corrupt. There's just going to be women who are corrupt. You get into the system, you're fucking corrupt. You get into government, you're fucking corrupt. Look at Nancy Pelosi. It makes perfect sense, Tucker says, pointing to women's role as mothers who protect the young and look to their future. We have an instinctual, I think, response to jump in and say no and wag your finger. For me, this was about my granddaughter and my children, but it was about everybody else's children as well. What kind of world are we going to leave for them? Well, don't worry about everybody else's children. Your children are not everybody else's children. Who asked you to step in and be this great protector of the young? Fuck you. What she's really saying is it's my job to get in there and make sure everybody votes for anybody else but Donald Trump or Republicans or men. And so Tucker decided to run for the 81st District of the House of Delegates. And other women decided to seek office, among them Hala Ayala, a cybersecurity specialist, who organized the Virginia contingent of the Women's March, you know, well, fuck you, in Washington the day after Trump's inauguration. Well, how did that work out for you? He's still in the White House. How'd that march out work out for you? How'd the other ones work out, too? Good? And Kelly Fowler, who decided to run during the Women's March, the location of her 8-year-old daughter's birthday celebration. Well, isn't that fucking great? Here, honey. Happy birthday. Now carry these signs and go out and march with all these burly women. And Stephanie Cook and Kathy Tran, who both had children born right around that time. Well, thanks, ladies. It's unprecedented, Virginia Democratic Caucus Chair Charnel Herring says. I think this is just the start. The charge for us is to keep this up. This is just the beginning. But I do believe we'll see legislatures across the country look different and more representative. No, you'll be the same goddamn bunch of criminals we got now. You'll just have boobs. Well, some of you will. I realized, why not me? Herring says she's heard repeatedly from Democratic candidates in Virginia that women are refusing to simply stand idly by anymore. They never mentioned Republican women, huh? They don't seem to have a problem with everything. There's a lot of women around this country who actually like Donald Trump. I don't know why, but they do. What about them? Who's representing them? Nobody. You hear about any Republican women running for anything? No. No, you don't. It's the same sentiment being expressed to national organizations who encourage women to stand for election. The numbers they are seeing tell the story of a movement that doesn't appear to be letting up. Yeah, as long as our voters don't bother to read the ballot, learn about the candidates, read about the issues, or read it all, we're in. That's what we want. More dummies to vote with emotions instead of logic. Listen, I don't have a problem with more or less women in government. It's still the government. It's still corrupt. There's still criminals. I don't care what gender you are. You're fucking wicked and evil as soon as you sit down in that seat. But this whole idea that we need more women in government just because they're women and they hate Donald Trump, that's not a good enough reason. All right? Enough of this she should run and she this and she that already. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And stop with the marches. The marches aren't doing jack shit. Last I checked, that fucking moron is still in the White House, all right? Nothing you're going to do about it. You want to do something about it? Vote his ass out in 2020. And vote the other pigs out in the midterm elections. You ever hear of those? There are a lot of elections during the year, not just in November. Now all of a sudden women have to run. Now all of a sudden we're interested in politics just to get that nasty, evil Donald Trump out of the White House. All right, so he gets out of the White House, now what? Another idiot just takes his place. Another Illuminati puppet. Who's going to run against Trump? Joe Biden? Are you fucking kidding me? Hell the fuck no. I'd rather vote for Trump, quite frankly. It comes down to those two morons. I fucking hate the two parties as it is. You know, I don't care if it's men, women. I don't care. They're both corrupt and evil and up to no good. Well, speaking of no good, what the fuck is going on in baseball this season? Look how many fucking empty seats there are. One of the big reasons is there's a huge cold wave going across the Midwest and the East. And teams that usually pack them in, like the Chicago Cubs, the seats are all fucking empty. That's one reason. Another reason is it's too fucking expensive to go. Another reason, and I hate to say this, but baseball moves a little too slowly for this generation. They want everything fast, 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 and nobody wants to sit there for 3 hours while not a whole lot of shit goes on. Now look, I'm a baseball fan, but I get it. I get why people think it's boring. It moves slowly. It does. There's really a lot of things we could do to speed the game up, like make it shorter, for instance. But one story I caught, I didn't even know this happened because I don't follow this team. White Sox relief pitcher Danny Farquhar was taken to the hospital after passing out in the dugout. What, he worked too hard there? What happened here? He had to be taken to the hospital after collapsing in the dugout during Friday night's 10-0 loss to the Houston Astros. Yeah, I think I'd faint and be out of sight myself. Farquhar had just pitched 2/3 of an inning. Oh, wow, that's it? Allowing 2 runs and 2 hits and striking out 1 batter. Yeah, again, he was trying to exit this fucking game with some kind of grace. Definitely wasn't from overwork. Entering Friday's contest, Farquhar was 1-1 with a 3.68 ERA. Well, that's not that great, is it? This guy's faking it. Yeah, he just didn't want to go back out there. It's like, I can't. 10-0? Get the fuck out of here. This is on the White Sox, too. Chicago's forgotten team. You know what's really a shame, too, is a lot of these empty stadiums are brand fucking new. Everybody's always rushing to get a new stadium, get a new stadium, get a new stadium. Like the Marlins. That new stadium's only a few years old, and they've stunk ever since they've moved into it. Remember, they were in the World Series before that. A couple times. Nobody's in that new fucking stadium. The Marlins really, really suck, and they were better when they were the Florida Marlins. When they became the Miami Marlins, it doesn't sound right, you know? Like, we have the Florida Panthers in hockey. I mean, why not? What was wrong with the Florida Marlins? Miami Marlins, it just sounds campy. And the whole stadium looks campy. What other place? The Atlanta Braves' new ballpark. Nobody understands. I do not understand why they needed a new ballpark. What were the politics involved with that fucking shit? Turner Field, the old park, was only 20 years old. Fucking Wrigley has been there for over 100 years. Fenway's been there over 100 years. Dodger Stadium is fucking, what is it now, 56 years old? What was wrong with Turner Field? I liked Turner Field. I've been there. It was right downtown, just south of downtown. The new one, I don't know where the fuck that is. And apparently nobody else does either because it's always empty. What other stadium did nobody else go to? The Oakland A's. Well, that one's understandable. The Coliseum, that place is an old piece of shit. But quite frankly, even if they got a new stadium, I don't think it would pack a crowd. For years, they've been trying to figure out what the fuck to do with the Oakland A's because there's no room in Oakland to put a stadium. Oakland's a fucking dump anyway. Well, what do? You put it in San Francisco, there's no room over there. Put it in San Jose. It's already ridiculous the 49ers play close to San Jose. Where are you going to fucking put the Oakland A's? Where are they going to go? That stadium, not only it's old, it's just a piece of shit. It's just crumbling. It's just rotten to the core, that fucking place. The fucking Raiders are still going to use it for another couple years, and off they go to Vegas. Have they even started construction at the new Vegas stadium yet? They've barely started with the fucking one in Inglewood for the Rams and the Chargers. Meanwhile, they just put up a brand new soccer stadium downtown. It took them like 2 seconds to put that piece of shit up. Why do we get a soccer stadium so fast? For the Olympics, that's why. They wanted to show the Olympic Committee, hey, look at this shiny new soccer stadium. We don't have to use the crappy Coliseum. Nah, fuck that place. We're going to blow it up. At least Angel Stadium, as old as that place is, it's been there since 1966, but at least they fixed it up somewhat. They just put new video boards and stuff in there. You know what they've also done? They've lowered the outfield fence for home runs. Well, they didn't lower the fence itself, but they lowered the line, the home run line. It used to be above the scoreboard. Now it's below the scoreboard. So pretty much anybody could knock one out of the park, except the Angels, of course. The Boston Red Sox certainly didn't have any trouble doing it. There's people are paying attention to the Angels because of Ohtani, the Japanese kid that came over. He's good. At least he's a good hitter. His pitching probably needs a little work. He's actually a better hitter than he is a pitcher. That's one of the very few times where they use a rotation pitcher as a DH for the rest of the time he's not pitching. That's very unusual. But he seems very comfortable hitting. I think he needs to work on his pitching a little more. Anyway, what other brand new stadium can I think of that hardly draws a crowd anymore? Target Field in Minneapolis. That's another one. The Twins have kind of stunk. They made the postseason last year. They played all those years in the Metrodome. They drew bigger crowds than that piece of shit. You know, it's become a pitcher's park. You know, they don't hit home runs either. And of course, it's been cold as shit there, so nobody's going anyway. Another place that doesn't draw a crowd, even though it's a nice stadium and a nice location, the San Diego Padres, Petco Park. That is a fucking nice stadium. I love that place, and I love San Diego as a whole. But the Padres suck. People aren't going to go to the game if the team constantly sucks. They sell out when the Dodgers come to town. That's about it. I mean, maybe when it starts warming up around the country, people start going to those games, at least to the teams they usually go to. But it's sad when games barely draw 10,000 people. I mean, that would be low for a basketball game. I think they're going to have to lower the number of seats at baseball stadiums. There's too many. Very rarely are you going to get 45,000 people in a house anymore, you know? Unless it's the playoffs. The Dodgers usually don't have problems selling out. People still flock to the Dodger games because most people in LA can't see the games on TV because of that dumbass Spectrum cable deal. But we're going to have to cheer for the Dodgers because that's all we've got left. No Lakers in the NBA playoffs. No Clippers in the NBA playoffs. Not that they care about the NBA playoffs anymore. The one I'm more upset about are the LA Kings being bounced out of the playoffs, and rather easily, too. Not that the games were blowouts, they were all decided by one goal. But the Kings just looked lifeless out there during most of it. They only got a total of 3 goals in the 4 games, and 2 of them were in overtime, for Christ's sakes. And one of them was a double overtime. And I don't fault Jonathan Quick. He had a hell of a series. He stopped a lot of fucking shots, including the record breaker on the double overtime game. I feel sad. I feel bad for him. You know, he worked fucking hard. A lot of the other guys didn't. I mean, a lot of the veterans just did not come through this time. You know, they just didn't score. They had some good looks, especially in the last game. Just didn't get it done. So now who the fuck do I root for? I can't really root for Vegas now because they're the team that bounced the Kings out. But now they're going to play the San Jose Sharks, who easily beat the Anaheim Ducks. Easily. Most of those games were fucking blowouts, including an 8-1 game. You gotta be kidding me. So it's really hard to root for anybody in that one. I guess I'd have to root for Vegas because I really don't like the Sharks. They were in the finals last year. Fuck them. The only thing I don't like about Vegas winning is that now it's going to be this feel-good story. They're first-year team, expansion team. They go all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't want to fucking hear it. Although I'll tell you what, if they wind up going to the finals and they face a team like the fucking New Jersey Devils or Boston, then yeah, I'll root for the fucking Vegas Knights. Otherwise, fuck them. If the Tampa Bay Lightning or somebody get in that, I'll root for them against the fucking Vegas Knights. You know what? I'll tell you who I'll root for in the West. The Winnipeg Jets. You know, they just moved on to the second round. You know, if we, it'd be nice to have a Canadian team playing the Stanley Cup Finals for once. Haven't had one in a while. I'd rather have it be Winnipeg than Toronto. And it looks like Toronto is going to lose to the fucking Boston Bruins anyway. So go Winnipeg. They play whoever wins the Avalanche Nashville Predators series, and the Avalanche actually won yesterday. Nashville leads 3-2, but it goes back to Colorado for the next game. So we'll see what happens there. And Tampa Bay should hopefully get rid of the Devils as well tomorrow. Well, speaking of Devils, Sinead O'Connor has this tape that's floating around now. TMZ put this out. And apparently she's talking to the police for some reason. I'm not sure why. But she's talking about Prince. And what a bad man he is.
Everyone is mistaken who believes that he did not have a drug habit for the entire of his life. He used hard drugs commonly.
A rock star, right? Using drugs. What a revelation.
I know this because I spent time with the man.
He gave you your one hit single.
He did not release an album famously, which is called the Black Album. The reason he didn't, he told me himself, was that he had been taking so many dark drugs that he had had a vision from God, and God had told him the album was evil and he was not to release it. Okay?
Okay. Good as reason as any not to put out a shitty album.
Very aggressive. His eyeballs would disappear literally from his eyes.
You know what? He's got the Illuminati broomstick shoved up his ass, too.
Very violent. And
he just wasn't as proud of it as, say, Cardi B.
He had been extremely violent to a number of women in his life, including myself. Several women were put in hospital while poor Prince was under the effects of these medications. He tried to beat the shit out of me.
He wasn't the only one.
Out of his house in the middle of the night. I managed to escape out of his house. He had me locked in the house ready to beat the shit out of me because he had gone upstairs and taken some kind of weird drug. When he came back down, he's very violent and the eyeballs are disappearing and I'm scared shitless. Prince was not a very nice man.
Okay.
Yeah, neither are you. You're not a very nice man either. What is her fucking problem? Of course, she comes out with this after he's dead. That's real courageous. Yeah, Sinead O'Connor, she's another one of those that's more famous for her antics rather than her music. Gotta be way too many people like that now. Aren't you a musician, sort of? Do something. I remember when they used to play her on 120 Minutes. That was the program on MTV that played the alternative music late Sunday night. And I remember her videos would come up on there, and I was like, it was 1989 or something. I was like, who the hell is this weird bald chick? This music sucks. Like that twangy alternative music in the late 80s I really hate. And then, of course, her one big, big, big crossover song was Nothing Compared to You, a song written by Prince. Go figure. What is she looking to gain from this? It's not like she's going to put out any more records. Hey, she's already come off as kind of loony, you know? Just leave it at that. Just be loony and shut your fucking mouth. And that goes for everybody. Everybody in this fucking country. Cardi B, the lady in Virginia running for office, the mainstream media, Sinead O'Connor, all of you.
Stop!
Thank you. And on that note, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. We'll take you back to the 70s, when everything wasn't so PC. Yeah, there was a lot of disco, but everybody was too high to care. BigAngryPhil.com is where I be. BigAngryPhil.com. You're on Facebook and you're sick of everybody's whining and pictures of ugly children. Well, fuck all that. Come on over to the Big Angry Phil podcast page. Like that shit, follow that shit, do that shit. Follow me on Twitter at Big Angry Phil. Instagram, Big Angry Phil. SoundCloud, Big Angry Phil. And the show can be heard on TuneIn. Big Angry Phil Podcast. Well, hey! Keep subscribing to the Tom Likas Show. TomEverywhere.com. Get to the app. Listen to, subscribe to, love the Gary Adino Show. GaryAdino.com.
That's it. I'm out of here. Be back next week. See ya.